It's always so interesting to see how God works things out. I think Jeff was kind of taking off some of my notes this morning. I think he was, but I actually know how it came about. Is the Lord, you know, the songs we've sung, the song that Linda sang this morning. It's just interesting to see how God works all these things out. I'm just so thankful for Jeff's message this morning in the Sunday school, and I pray that you will be blessed by what I bring today. We're going to be talking about the holiness of God. In revering and reverencing our God the way he deserves to be reverenced. Before we get started, if you endure to the end of my message, you don't walk out, fall asleep, whatever. There is something I want to give to you, and there's some gentlemen who are going to hand those out towards the end of the service. Just something as a challenge to all of us. So, if you can make it through, you'll get something special today. As we go through this message, let's all ask God to reveal to us what or who we are revering the most in our lives. How do we view God? I think we get a lot of our views from the Bible. You know, I think Jeff kind of referenced that this morning. We need to be in God's Word. And so when we realize who he is, realize he's holy, and to be holy means to be exalted and worthy of complete devotion. He's worthy of all that devotion, you know, far more than I know that I do. I don't always reverence him as much as I should. I don't follow him as much as I should. But God has been working in my life over the years to make me more like him and to do those things I should. But before I accepted Jesus as my Savior, you know, the Bible pointed out that I was a sinner. I was not holy. I was a sinner. So he taught me that Jesus was the only way that I could be saved, the only way I could be made holy so that I could be with him forever. After I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Bible showed me of God's holiness. And I really began to understand how wicked I really was. You know, before I thought I did, but I really didn't. The more I got into God's Word, the more I realized how wicked I truly was. And I began to understand a little more about God, about how I need to die to myself daily and serve him according to his will. And as always, you know, it's, even to this day, I've been saved for over 35 years, I'm still learning how to do that, how to die to myself daily and to give my will up for his. And it's continual work. We're going to look at a few passages before we get to our main passage, but I just want us to get kind of a view of Jesus Christ, a view of God. And so we're going to look at Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 18. And these I'm just going to kind of read through because they give us kind of a picture of God, a better view of who he is. And, you know, we only get to see it a little bit now through his word, but one day we will see it perfectly, who he really is, 100%. But let's look at verses 10. Through 18, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and we being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto the fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of death. Of hell and death, a beautiful picture of our Savior. I can't, you know, I try to use my imagination. I ask you to try to use your imagination, what that might be like, you know, to see our Savior. You know, John was blessed to be able to see him in this light, and one day we will see him as well in that light. We want to get a glimpse of his holiness. We're going to look over at Revelation chapter 4 is another passage that gives us a little glimpse of God. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. It says, "After this I looked, and beheld a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was as a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. He is holy. He is righteous. One day we'll be able to be there to say those same things, to call him holy, to worship him as they did at this point, as they will. We're going to look at, if you want to turn to Isaiah 6, this will be our main passage. Those are kind of just kind of get our appetite a little whetted there. But do you see God on his throne? Can you see what he looks like? You know, we have just a kind of a dark image of it right now, but one day we will see that. The people in the white robes, the crowns, the thundering voices, the lightning, the burning lamps, the sea of glass, the 4 beasts. One day we will see that. We will praise God and sing his praise with all the others through history who have loved God. We will get to be there to do that as these people did. As we look at Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 4, we're going to look at another passage about what God looks like there. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Again, another beautiful picture of our God. God is holy, pure. He's holy, he's pure. Not even a hint of sin in him at all. It's hard for us to comprehend that because, you know, we know sin too well. It resides within us. But there's no rival to God in his glory and his power and his holiness. And so I try to imagine seeing him face to face through these passages. You know, I don't know that we can fully appreciate him at this point, but we can get a picture of it. Again, when we talk about the holiness of God, he's worthy to be exalted. He's worthy of complete devotion. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today is, are we completely devoted to him? An interesting thought as you think of the description there about the seraphim, they covered themselves with their wings out of extreme reverence to God. What kind of reverence do we have of God? Do we view God in that way? Are we in awe of God? It's hard to imagine that. I mean, one day when we stand before him, I think we'll buckle our knees. We will bow before him because of his holiness, his worthy. He is worthy. As we think about the angels, you know, how much more should we revere God compared to his creations, the angels? He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. Something the angels don't know, we get to enjoy that blessing to know God in a different way than they know him. He redeemed us from our sin, saved us from hell, and one day we will get to be with those angels praising him. Worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. But you think about that angel, he immediately did what he was told to do. He took off and did what God told him to do. And so we need to look at ourselves. Do we obey God's word when we hear it? When God speaks to us through a message, when we read the Bible at home and God speaks to us, do we follow God's commands immediately? I'm afraid sometimes, I know I don't. I sometimes hesitate. Sometimes, you know, Jeff mentioned Jonah. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm a Jonah sometimes. You know, I hesitate or don't do what he calls me to do. And so we need to recognize that. And hopefully the next time we do it right away. And as we look at Isaiah 6:5, we're going to see Isaiah's view of God, what he felt when he was there. He said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When we come before God, it should humble us. Our pride, it should be obliterated. There should be no more pride in us. We should stand before God and see him, and it should humble us. And the way we see God in this day and age is through his word. And so just like Jeff talked about this morning, you know, we need to be in his word. We need to be spending time with him, recognizing him for who he is. Isaiah noticed it. He recognized his sin. I think if we read God's word, we'll recognize our sin in comparison to his word. But if we don't spend time in it, you know, sometimes I think there's times where I don't want to spend time in it because it does hurt sometimes when we recognize our sin. We don't want to give up our sin. We want to do what we want to do. And so it's very important that we recognize that we are sinful and that God is holy. And so we need to change our lives to be what he has called us to do. You know, in order to be saved, we had to recognize we were sinners. We had to humble ourselves and come to Jesus Christ and say, "I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior." As a Christian, we should recognize when we step away from God. But I'm afraid a lot of times we don't recognize as we step away from God. You know, you think of David in the Old Testament. There was obviously a time in his life he didn't recognize he was walking away from God, and it cost him dearly. And so that can happen to us if we're not careful. We need to recognize when we step away from God. We need to be in his word, need to be in prayer, and God will point those things out before it gets too far down the road. In Psalms 119, 140, it says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Do we love God's word? I think it'll be evident by us wanting to go to church. Every time these doors are open, we can hear the word of God. There's countries where they don't have the freedoms to do that. They're fortunate if they can even have a portion of God's word. And so we should be thankful that we have the freedoms to do that. Do I love God's word? Do I spend time in it? And I think it'll be evident in our lives if we do love God and do love his word, because it'll change us. Let's look at Isaiah 6, 6 and 7. It says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with a tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged." You know, we must have our sins purged so that we can have eternal life, so that we can be with him forever. As a Christian, there are times that we fail, we fall, but, you know, we're still saved, but maybe we're not walking with God as we ought. Well, we need to have those things purged. You know, I think of Isaiah. I'm pretty sure he was a believer in God. That's why he was there. But he still recognized his sin. when he was exposed to God, when he was exposed to the Word of God, he recognized he was sinful. Even though he was a prophet of God, he was a follower of God, he still recognized his sin. Do you always obey what it says, you know, what God's Word says? Have you looked to see if your hand is still in his hand? Too often we, you know, I've seen this before where, you know, this actually happened to me and one of my sons. We were at a Nebraska football game and, you know, we were walking through the crowd, you know, going around looking at things, and all of a sudden we realized my son wasn't there anymore. You're kind of like, you know, you start panicking, but, you know, we weren't holding hands anymore. We had been holding hands, and then we kind of let go for a few minutes as we were looking around, and he disappeared. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, what am I going to do? But God, fortunately, we found him. He's still here. He's still alive. But we can feel that way sometimes when we take our hands out of God's hand. We kind of maybe pull off and want to go our own way. And the next thing we know, we're in deep trouble. And so we need to make sure that we have not left the place that we need to be, right next to the Lord, holding his hand. Then he asks in verse 8, he asks us, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then Isaiah says, "Then said I, here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." We talked about Israel at the time was not walking with God. They were disobedient. And God says, "I'm going to send you to go to them, but they're not going to listen, because their sin has blocked up their ears, has blocked their perception of what God wants and what he is doing." And so I'm afraid sometimes we are like those people. We hear God, but we don't understand what he's doing or what he wants us to do. Because I think sometimes we let the world creep in and we get so worldly that we cannot hear or see. We are like those that see and don't recognize what he is doing, what he's calling us to do. And so we need to be in God's word. He's asking you, he's asking me to serve him. He's commanded us to go ye into all the world. Are you wholeheartedly serving this glorious God of ours? It's something that is always on your mind. That is something I can say I struggle with, especially after I was first saved, even over the years. But I had some men who came into my life and helped me to get my focus where it needed to be, to learn to desire to know what he wanted me to do, to recognize the sin of my life and get it out of my life. And so we have to examine ourselves. And when we read God's word, the Holy Spirit is going to do that. He's going to point some things out, and then we have a choice to make. You know, we may hear some preaching here from this pulpit, and we might go, "Boy, I need to get that out of my life." Well, we have a decision, and what are we going to do that next week? We're going to get it out, we're going to leave it there, or just push it to the side and say, "I'll come back to that later." You know, we need to make sure that we're examining ourselves according to God's word. So we can't hear if our ears are full of the world's philosophy, the noise. You know, like Jeff mentioned this morning, you know, the iPads, the iPhones, whatever. There's so much that we fill our lives with that we can't even hear God speaking to us. Use this a little illustration. Imagine a person who's employed by a company, but they only show up when they feel like it. And then when they are at work, they don't really do any work. When someone asks them about the company to maybe use that company's products, they even refuse to talk about the benefits that they could get from the company. Many of us, I think, are like that in regards to Jesus Christ. We refuse to tell others about Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody even asks us a question, "Why do you do that? Why do you go to church? Why do you not go do this or that?" And we keep our mouth shut. We lost an opportunity. You know, there's times where God's pointed directly in my face and said, "You go talk to that person about me." And I said, "No." And, you know, I lost that opportunity. I lost an opportunity to maybe share the gospel or talk to that person, to plant that seed. And I think in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5, which are very familiar probably to most of us, talking to the church of Ephesus, says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore them which art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." That can happen to us if we don't obey God. You know, Jeff's given his testimony many times of how he wasn't following God, but God brought him an opportunity. I have a similar testimony. There were times and times and times God was asking me to do things, and I kept rejecting it. And finally, God got a hold of my heart and changed me. You know, and it took some difficulties in life to get my attention. But I don't want God to remove my place of service to him. And if I fail to do what I'm supposed to do, if I'm not in God's word, I'm not serving him, I'm not doing what he's calling me to do, he may take that candlestick away and I may never get back to that point. May never get back in following God. We've heard, I'm sure all of us have heard about Christians who faithfully served God for years and then for some reason they fell away and are no longer serving the Lord. That can happen to any one of us. And so that's why it's so important to be in God's word, so important to spend time reading, spend time in prayer. So Isaiah is giving this message to the Israelites, is rebuke from God of their wickedness. We should take that rebuke and use it in our lives to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And Christ should be that first love in our life. You know, what do you want me to do for you today, Lord? We should be praying that. We should be praying the Holy Spirit would give us the power to do it, because we can't do it of our own strength. We can only do it through him. And kind of like Jeff mentioned, you know, if God was writing this new Bible, you know, and God was going to put some of us in there, what kind of story would we have? You know, what kind of testimony do we have? What are other people going to see in our life about Jesus Christ? Are they not going to know a thing because our lives do not show Jesus Christ at all? Or will there be some testimony of God using us to reach others for Christ? So he rebukes Israel for their hearing but not understanding, that they see but don't perceive. And in verse 10 is kind of another rebuke of their wickedness. He says, "Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed." It reminds me, as I was reading this, of Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh hardened his heart. There came a point where God finished hardening his heart. That can happen to us. If we harden our heart time and time and time again, there could come a point where we don't respond ever again to God. So in the message today, you know, sinner, Jesus is a way of salvation. Will you hear it? Do you recognize that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell, burning in the lake of fire? Christian, are you listening to God calling you to go and serve him in some way? You know, do we hear that? Are we listening to what God is calling us to do? So we see many who say with their mouths they are gods, but they don't obey his word. And an example is in Matthew 15:8, where he's talking to these Pharisees, and he says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I can think of times where maybe I was going through the motions, I showed up to church, or I did what I was supposed to do, but my heart was far from God. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. So we need to examine ourselves to make sure we're not walking like those Pharisees walked. We're not walking in a hypocritical manner where we're saying something, but we're not doing it. So God knows what is really in our hearts. He can examine those things. He can examine our intents, what we intend to do. He sees our actions. People see our actions. You know, as I see my grandson, you know, when we come around him, he's noticing what I do. My children, when they were young, they mimic a lot of the things that I did. It's not always good. And so it's amazing what they can show us. They can show us our faults. And we see that in them. So we need to be careful what we're doing, how we're doing it. Do we consult with God daily in our lives? That was one of the hard things for me, was getting started reading my Bible every single day. One of the things that helped me was getting involved in the, you know, reading the Bible through in a year. I would just follow that list, you know, and and not just read it to read it, but you know, hopefully read it to understand and get some understanding of God's word. So we need to consult with him through his word. We need to consult with him through prayer, asking him, Lord, help me to understand what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to do. Begging him, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he will show you. Is God asking you to talk to someone about him? Is he asking you to remove something from your life? Is he asking you to do something specific for him? You need to answer that call. You know, what is he asking you to do? We can all go to Romans 12. Let's turn to Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. Most of us know this passage. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We know that verse very well, but do we actually do it? Have you presented yourself to God not to do what you want, but to die to yourself? Why do we want to die to ourselves? It is our reasonable service for what he's done for us, the salvation he's given us. We have been bought by the blood of God's Son. He should be the one who's in charge of our life, not we ourselves. What are we to do? Let's look at verse 2. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what are we to do? We are to be in God's word and obey it so others can see what is good, what is acceptable, what is the perfect will of God. I think our society doesn't see much of that out of the church anymore. Too many churches are following what the world is doing rather than following what God's word says to do. I passed over part of that verse and kind of on purpose. What did God say we are not to do? We're not to be conformed to this world, but I have a fear that we are so conformed to this world, the world doesn't even notice us. We do the same things. We act the same way. We talk the same way. We need to be careful what we are doing in our lives. So do we look and act more like the world than we do God? Well, what kind of testimony can we have if we look that way? You know, we don't really read past verse 2 very often. Sometimes we just stop right there at verse 2 because, you know, those are two great verses. But if we go on to verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Again, we talked about the pride earlier. Should eliminate our pride when we read God's word. So don't compare yourself to others. You know, we have a tendency, well, I'm better than so-and-so. I don't do that. I don't do what they do. Or I do this and they don't do it. You know, we compare ourselves to one another. That is not what we are supposed to compare ourselves at all. We're supposed to compare ourselves against this word. And we don't do it. If we did, we would make a huge difference in this world if we lived it every single day. And so don't compare yourself to others. Compare yourself to God's word. You know, we need to stop focusing so much on ourselves and focus on serving God. Too often we focus on what I want to do, where I want to go, what kind of job I want to have. We focus on all those things. But if we do what God's will is, he said that he will provide our needs. He will provide some of those things that we enjoy to do. We just need to stop focusing so much on ourselves and allow God to work in us. When we see our awesome God, it should sober us. It should obliterate that pride that is within us. It should drive us to serve our God with passion, not by obligation. You know, I can think of sometimes I served with obligation and rather than passion from God. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, why should we do this? Because we love God. We should revere him because of who he is, as we looked at the beginning in Isaiah, those first few passages. In the book of James, I won't have you turn there, but you know, probably know these verses. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. There was many years I was a hearer, but I sure wasn't doing all of what God was telling me to do. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We will be blessed if we do what God tells us to do. The problem is we don't. We allow our emotions, we allow our desires to have control of our lives. And we can't be what we ought to be for God if we are. So God has blessed us with incredible privileges. We get to be his children with all its rights, privileges, and responsibilities. He gives us the path to follow in his word. We are to be like him. We need to purify ourselves by his word. In 1 John 3, I'm going to read some verses here, 1 through 3, and then 23 and 24. It said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Certainly not deserving, but we get to be called the sons of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And so as we purify ourselves, we're going to start doing the things that we ought to do. As we do and obey God's word, it helps us to do these next two verses. In verses 23 and 24, it says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us." God has given us his word. He's given us his Son. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us each other. We should love God. We should love each other. And if we are, as Pastor has been talking about, we need to be unified together. And what are we unified under? We're not unified under Open Door Baptist Church. We're not unified under being a Baptist. We're unified under Jesus Christ and his word. And so if we are doing what God's word says, we will be unified. The problem is we don't always do what God's word says, so we are not unified at times. And so we're not doing what God tells us to do. In 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." We don't see it all right now, but we can see quite a bit from God's word if we would read it, we would study it, if we would do it. One day we'll get to enjoy the presence for eternity. One of the great blessings is thinking about when I die, I'll be reunited with Pastor Gene Springer. I'll be reunited with my father. I'll be reunited with a lot of the Christians I've known over the years who've already gone ahead. I'll be reunited with them. But more importantly, I'll be reunited with Jesus Christ. I'll see him face to face. What a blessing. And let's look at Revelation 21, 1 through 7. I should look at the time. Oh, we got plenty of time. Revelation 21. Jeff hasn't been waving at me yet, so I'm all right. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. It says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." Amen to that. "And neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto you that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." What a thought of being with God, to see him, to be there with him in his kingdom. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. I try to sometimes, but it's kind of beyond me. I can't imagine that right now, but someday we'll get to enjoy that. So, Christian, are you faithfully serving your God? Are you molding yourself after him? After his word? Or are we molding ourselves after this world? It's a continual battle to fight that. You know, the world is so invasive into our lives. It's in the news. It's in the shows we watch. It's in the movies we watch. It's in the newspaper. It's in the, you know, every time you watch the news, they talk about the weather. Or they talk about finding some dinosaur bone, and they're billions of years old. You know, it's everywhere. You know, it's everywhere. And so we have to fight that every single day. Satan's trying to indoctrinate us. You know, we see what they're doing in the public schools, the indoctrination going on and so many different things. But we need to be in God's word so we can refute that lie of Satan. And so the altar here is always open. You can come confess to God if you haven't put him first place in your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. We can show you from God's word how you can know you're going to be with him for eternity. So the main point of this message was, do you have reverence for God? If you do, it will change your life. It'll change your attitude. I can attest to that. It'll change your actions. If not, we will continue down that path that will lead to our candlestick being removed, our destruction of our service, of our testimony before God. I have some gentlemen who are going to pass out some cards that this is something that I had kind of in reserve for something else, but I feel like God wanted me to hand them out now. There are just a couple Bible verses that give us what we're supposed to be doing. So go ahead and pass those out, guys. And just there's enough for everybody, so you can take, each person can take one. But they're just something that is a reminder, something you can put on your refrigerator, put in your Bible, put in your car dash, wherever you will see it. And it's just something to remember, some Bible verses that will help us to remember what our job is. Our job is to spread the gospel, to tell others about Jesus Christ. So Matthew 28 is on there about go ye therefore. And are we doing that? I can remember a time in my life where I didn't do very much of that. You know, it's very rare. But God started using me to share the gospel. A lot of times it was using tracts, going out soul winning, talking to people at my work. We have a track rack full of tracts. There's a few Christmas ones out there. You can put those into Christmas cards. You can hand them to your friends, hand them to people you know who may not know Jesus Christ. It tells the information about the church, a little bit about our times. You can invite them to church. Just use those. But take these cards, and these are for you to use, for you to think about what your job is every single day, is to reflect Jesus Christ to others. And so I pray that you will use those. You know, if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, come talk to me. Come talk to Jeff, one of the church members. We can show you from the Word of God what you have to do. It's simply admitting that we're a sinner. Simply asking Jesus to be our Savior because we are a sinner. And so we can have eternal life with him. And there's no greater joy than being saved. There's no greater joy than sharing the gospel with someone else and seeing them come to saving knowledge of you, of him. And so we can enjoy those things. And so that's one of the things that Pastor Springer, Gene Springer, asked me to do when I came, was to be that help to this church. You know, we've done a little bit. We're hoping to do some training here in the future, some more direct training of how do you do that? How do you be a witness? I can tell you when I first started going out door to door, I was nervous and afraid. You know, I was one of those people who, you know, didn't really want anybody to answer the door, you know, but over the years, you know, because of men that put, and women who put some effort into my life, I learned to go up, and now I'm knocking that door, and I've had people tell me, you shouldn't knock so loud, but yeah. But I want people to come to the door. I want to share the gospel with them, and certainly I don't do it perfectly, you know. I've been doing it for a long time, but I still don't do it perfectly, but I feel like if Jesus Christ could go to the cross and suffer all he did for me, I should be able to go knock on somebody's door. I should be able to hand it to a coworker or something. You know, there's many ways to do it. You know, it's not just going out door knocking. There's all kinds of ways. But just take this as an opportunity to take these cards, make it maybe a prayer. Lord, how can you use me? Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, let us hear and understand what you want us to do, what you want us to say. Help us not to only see, but help us to perceive what you're doing in our lives and what you want us to do. Dear Lord, help us to die to ourselves each and every day so that we can let you live through our lives. Help us to let you take control of our lives and use them as you will. And I know we will see incredible things. We've already seen some incredible things that you've done in people's lives in this place. And we pray that would continue. Lord, just help us to be faithful. Help us to be unified in your word. We just pray that we would be in your word every single day. We would spend time in communication with you through prayer, that we might be what we ought to be. Lord, I do thank you for this church that stands true to your word. I pray that you would just bless our pastor as he's away, that you give him a time of blessing, time of enjoyment with his wife, and time to rest and bring him back refreshed and ready to go. Lord, I do pray for those who are sick, who are not able to be with us. I pray that you would just heal their bodies, strengthen them. Lord, I do pray there are some that are going through some difficulties with their health, that you would just heal them, provide for them, and whatever that you have in store for their lives. Lord, I just pray that you would just use us in this week. We would see the opportunities that you bring to us, that we might see seeds planted. We might see people saved. We might see maybe a Christian who's backslidden, who's fallen away from God, not even in church anymore. Come back to church. Get back in your word. Lord, may we shine the light of Christ. And Lord, just let us use our gifts that you've given us to do that. Just thank you for each one that is here today. I pray you give them safety as they go home and bring us back safely again this afternoon, that we might hear your word preached again. In Jesus' name, amen.